This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys game day coming up on Sunday at the home game against Detroit. Our pregame at 12:30, kickoff 3:25, as Stephen Jones joins you now here on your home of America's team. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing great, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What can you share with us on availability here with your injured guys? Guyton, Carson, Bland, Kendricks, I believe. Is that the four main ones in question?
Yeah, probably going to come, and it'll probably come down to the wire on all those guys. And we'll just have to see kind of how they do tomorrow, and then we'll make a call on, you know, our two corners, on Kendricks, on Guyton. We'll make a call on all of it. And, you know, I'll be surprised if Guyton can't go, but, you know, if he's not 100%, we may stick with, you know, Tyler out there at left tackle.
What have you guys thought about the difference of that look with Smith at left tackle and Bass at guard as compared to your starting rotation?
Well, it's just good to have the versatility. You know, in this league, you're going to have injuries. All you got to do is turn on a game every night or day, and you see offensive linemen going down and people having to shuffle, and, you know, that's just part of it. And to have a guy like Tyler Smith who's versatile and can kick out and when kick a guard in is certainly something that makes us a better football team. But at the same time, I really like what, you know, when he's 100% healthy, what Guyton's doing at left tackle and what Tyler's doing at left guard.
Stephen, congratulations to your Hogs last week on that win. I was going to ask you, though, about the thing with the decision to kick Tyler outside. I was at all your training camp practices and stuff like that. I don't think I saw him play left tackle one time at practice. Was that something that was just you were always going to think about doing that, or was that something because of the matchup with the Steelers and their edges that you went that direction?
No, it was. We've been practicing Tyler Smith out there since the start of the season. We started getting him, you know, 6 to 10 reps every week, and knowing that that's probably our best option is to kick him out and put TJ at left guard there and go from there. So it's something that, you know, we've thought about and, you know, talked about internally. And I think he's, you know, obviously he played it at a high level, left tackle. So, you know, I don't want to put this on him, but, you know, Larry Allen could do the same thing. So it's great to have that versatility.
Stephen Jones here with you on The Fan. So this Lions group pretty tough there. How confident are you you guys can hang in with them?
Oh, we feel good. I mean, that's, you know, every game's a challenge in this league. Obviously, they got some really good football players, really good coaching staff that, you know, is very innovative moving the ball. They got a couple of good backs that complement each other. You know, the speed, power matchup, and then certainly got some good receivers and a really good tight end, and that quarterback's making plays for them. And they also got a good offensive line. So it's a solid group, and on the defensive side, they got the same thing. So, you know, that's life in the NFL. You're going to go up against good teams, good players, and you're going to have your challenges. And it's good that we're going to be at home with our fans and hopefully get them rocking a little bit and give us a home field advantage.
Rico is coming off of arguably his best game. There was the report of Zeke speaking with club officials about his role. Anything else you can add to us about Zeke's workload?
No, I think that's typical. I mean, anytime you got a competitor, they're going to have visits with coaches. I don't think it was in a negative way at all. I think it was just, what the plans are for Zeke. And obviously he's a competitor and wants to play, but he also understands game to game, week to week, we got to do what's in the best interest of the team. And Mike and Shoddy and that crew will make that call. But I don't think that's a big deal at all.
How much discussion have you guys had about trying to get Zeke more involved CeeDee Lamb more involved as the games go on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you pay a guy that kind of money, you want to get him his targets. And he started off fast the other night. I think he had 4 or 5 catches in the first quarter. And then they zeroed in on him, and it opened it up for a lot of other players on our team between Ferguson, Tolbert, Turpin. It opened it up. But, obviously, at the end of the day, we want to get CDS touches. He's a dynamic football player, one of the best players on our team, and we want to get him the ball.
You brought up Jalen Tolbert. What stood out to you about his emergence in the offense, and has he fully recovered from spraining his nuts in Pittsburgh?
Excuse me.
It was a good one, Steven.
You caught me. You caught me there. I've had a little cold, so that got me in the belly there a little bit. So, or in the nuts, one. I don't know which. But no, in all seriousness, Jalen, when Brandon Cooks came in here, Jalen really, Brandon took him under his wing. Brandon's special, both on and off the field in terms of being a mentor and teaching these young players how to be a pro. And I think Jalen's really taken to it. And, to see him grow the last couple of years under Brandon Cooks, and then, when Brandon had his injury, to step up and make the plays that he's making now is big time. And it's important to Jalen. The way he goes about his business is impressive, and I think his arrow's up.
Looking like the injury reports here, and we're seeing Eric Kendricks going to be out for the game. Who needs to step up, and who will get those Eric Kendricks opportunities now, maybe with the green dot and stuff like that?
Yeah, those are things that Mike's continuing to look at. We'll look at it again tomorrow. But obviously you got guys like Damone Clark who we're wanting to get back in the groove. We've got Harris. We got a good group of guys there that hopefully can step up and help us there. If it looks like Kendricks isn't going to go, which is starting to look like the case.
Two games in a row, though, snuffing the run pretty good against the Giants and Steelers. Is this Zimmer's message getting home? How much better are you feeling about your run defense?
Well, I think it's just, whenever you get a new defensive coordinator, you change the language. You got to adapt to the change. And I think that's what our guys are doing. They're seeing how important it is to have gap integrity and do the things that Mike wants them to do. And I think they're starting to really do a good job of that. And obviously it'll be real important because this Detroit team can really run the ball well. As I said, they got two really good complementary backs, and Montgomery and Gibbs are good, good players, that really run the ball well. So, when you go into a game, the first thing you want to do on defense is stop the run. And obviously we'll line up and have confidence in them. Got our guys schemed up and ready to go.
Thank you so much, Steve. Give him hell out there on Sunday. We'll be pulling for you.
Thank you, Gat.
There he goes, Steven Jones there. Under the weather a little bit. I know some viruses have been going around. The allergies are kicking pretty good. And Woolchuck's joke, on top of that, it was just a triple threat that
tickled him.
Yeah, it was good.
Got him right there in the belly, Woolchuck.
I got a bet payoff. Speaking of nuts, coming up here in about 2 hours, the Roger Clemens, although you could call this the Jalen Tolbert. You take a look at, I don't know, would that work? If you got sprained nuts, would Icy Hot make it better?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have the burning sensation than the twisting, the torsion.
Yeah.
Involved in a spraining.
Damn miraculous.
I would love to know.
Sprain
what
helps
the,
ice.
What the, could you ask the training staff, or can you poke around and prod there at the Star and just try and figure out what was the protocol there for the sprained nuts? Had they seen that before? And how did they react in real time? Was it icy hot? Was it an ice pack?
I think they kind of just let you be, don't they? Don't you just kind of sit down? And I've seen in soccer when they got hit, they move their feet. They move their feet to their knees to their chest and
Oh yeah.
Yeah, have you ever
after seen, a racking situation,
after a racking
trying to get the blood flow going.
Yeah, they
or
try and get you kind of going again. Is
right.
What they try
well, that's
do.
Why I think we should ask. Like, did you have to help get him going again? What was the process?
Okay.
I mean, clearly, whatever they did worked.
Yeah,
you know, he scores on the very next play.
Absolutely fine.
Sometimes, yeah, you know,
whatever they did work.
Sometimes it's not incapacitating. It's just highly uncomfortable, you know.
You can see it. I mean, they had to call the timeout, right? Didn't the Cowboys call
the timeout after that?
Because
and then the Steelers called the timeout.
He was hobbling. Honestly, that second timeout probably bought him just enough time to overcome the issue that he was dealing
Thank
with.
Thank you, Tom.
I don't know if we've given Mike McCarthy the credit he deserves for his strides in game management.
It was a ballsy call.
It was.
Use that timeout. It was very ballsy.
Yes, sir, it was. And it was the right thing. So congratulations to everybody involved there. If we had two players that you want to see more of here down the stretch, that was the article here, Blogging the Boys. We'll give you a little bit of Cowboys Twitter here. They go with Kevontae Turpin. I don't know we want to see more of that.
That was going to be, I mean, at least as much as we saw the other night. Like, that dimension of the offense, I think, is just, it's an easy 5 or 6 yards anytime you want to just go quick game with him just because of his speed and the accuracy that Dak's
vertical
putting
route
on him right
ran.
There. No, yeah, for right sure.
The
seam, but then
seam guy,
but
Dak
once or twice a game, you get an opportunity to use his speed. You have no one else like him from a speed standpoint on your offense. And so the way they used him the other night, I thought was perfect.
Yeah, you know, if you could get similar type of production from what they got, like if he's got that in his bag to do that for you a couple of times a month, I love it. You know, I just wonder, when you're not talking about traditional receivers and you're trying to deploy them, sometimes it doesn't work out and come together. But I definitely want to see them explore that, you know, because as you said, there's a dimension there. And I feel like with him in the game, there's more chances of getting a little bit creative with, you know, making the defense defend the whole field. And then obviously the speed threat is there.
I mean, think about the skill positions that we're talking about right now. We saw Tolbert step up.
Yeah.
And then obviously we just saw Turpin a little bit as well. But we're talking about an offense that is, for the most part, it's CeeDee Lamb. And who else is really respected here? There's no excuse based on the skill position guys that you have at your disposal that Turpin should not be a decent part of what it is that you got going on week in, week out.
But speaking of receiver, you know, to me, like the bigger spotlight this week is on Tolbert because he's more credible with his traits as a dynamic, you know, weapon. And maybe we're already going to see a bunch of him.
Yeah.
So he doesn't come to mind like a player you want to see more of because he's obviously wide receiver too, at least with Brandon Cooks out. But he has a chance in this game to solidify the breakout.
Right.
And to make you think like, wow, maybe we don't need to draft another wide receiver. Maybe we do have somebody that the defense has to respect if they want to double CD all game.
And maybe I end up just feeling foolish, but I'm very confident in Jalen Tolbert going into this game. And that's not something I necessarily thought I was going to say preseason about any game. But I feel very, very good right now about the way we just saw Jalen Tolbert play against some corners that I think he could take advantage of against Detroit. Like wide receiver two, yeah, I think Tolbert could go out there and maybe lead this team in receiving. The other guy I want to see more involved is Hunter Lipke. I feel like anytime Hunter Lipke's in the game and gets the ball, good things are happening. The screen that they ran, I love when they do the swing out and Hunter Lipke's now the lead blocker. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something you could do with Turpin.
Totally.
You know, you swing Turpin out there and Lipke's now lead blocking for him and you try and utilize that speed. But Lipke is just a super intelligent player. I think he could get the ball more as a runner, but as a receiver, I've been extremely impressed by him.
It's going to be a good opportunity for some players to break out. As Brian told you in Krusty's Corner yesterday at 3:40, you can go back and listen to that with the Odyssey app, Twitch, YouTube. The Lions secondary, while it was turned over and is better than the secondary the Cowboys faced last year, there's still holes in it.
There are holes.
And not really a great pass rush option opposite Hutchinson right now, right? I got those two right?
Yep.
Okay, Blogging the Boys did go with Hunter Lipke. Is this the case of a guy being super talented and dynamic, or just a guy, you know, being credible and having a diverse skill set? Like, what are we looking at here? You know, is this a potential breakout we're seeing from Hunter Lipke, or a guy who's sufficient on a roster that doesn't have a lot of that in the running back room?
It's probably more of the latter, but I do think he's a guy that throughout his career, like, he can give you he's got a unique skill set. I mean, from what we saw from him in college, he would line up and play tight end for you. He would be the starting running back. The stuff of him trying to play fullback last year, Brian, we talked about it all year. the blocking aspect of it was not something he did in college.
Half man
blocker,
so
he had to learn that, and he showed improvement throughout the season. But I think him is just a playmaking weapon, a Swiss Army knife that can give you a little bit from the running back spot. But also, I think as kind of an added tight end, if you want to go and have him run some routes, I mean, he's made big plays on third downs to move the chains for you. So I think he's just one of those guys that, man, you can rely on him in some tough moments to come up with a big play.
Okay, the 214 asking, what has Tolbert done to have you guys so infatuated with him? I'm not infatuated. He just had a good game.
Yeah.
You know, 7 catches, 87 yards, touchdown with the sprained nuts. That was a legendary play.
Yes, exactly. It was a walk-off touchdown, dude.
The one thing that he has that maybe some of the other receivers don't have is he has the confidence of the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, it's a good point.
But he's got the confidence now too, right?
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that quarterback is going to the quarterback will spread the ball around. But where did he go? Where did he go in that crucial pass?
Mm-hmm.
He threw it to Tolbert. And when they were moving the football, who did he throw it to? Tolbert.
Yeah, handful of third down plays. Yeah. It's Tolbert first down. Boom, let's go.
So if you're asking the question, don't ask us the question. Ask the quarterback the question of, hey, you know, why are you throwing the ball so much to Tolbert? And I'm guaranteed he's going to say, because I know the guy will make a play for me.
Let me ask you this then, Brian. Do you think the quarterback lost faith in 88?
I don't think it's a loss of a faith. I think it is more about that Dak is one of these guys that he's kind of like when you work with him, when you're part of his deal, when, you know, he embraces the guy who's coming out there when it's 103 degrees on the Dak yard and throwing route after route after route, you know, every single day, you know. And maybe CD was, you know, doing some of his own. CD's going to work hard, but maybe he wasn't part of that. You know, and Dak's like, hey, I've thrown hundreds of routes. He's thrown hundreds of routes to Lamb, but now he's in this mode of like, man, this kid right here is going to make a play for me. I don't think he's lost confidence in 88. I just feel like, though, he's becoming – far more comfortable with Tolbert.
I feel like as a quarterback, if I had my guy and he was a star and he's like, feed me, dude, and we're working together, I'm like, I'm trying my hardest. I'm trying to get you the ball. I'm trying to get you the ball. And then, you know, maybe we have some miscommunications and you yell at me. And then in the post game that day, I talk about how we need to be more professional. And then the next week, there I am trying to figure out on my tablet how the hell we're going to move the football. And, you know, your body language or the way you're approaching me isn't with a bunch of respect and professionalism. I know what he said wasn't bad, but the optics of it, Dak wasn't like, oh, yeah, cool, dude. He was like, bro, I'm trying to work on my tablet right now. I just wonder if you get past a point where you're like, he's my guy, I'm going to him, right? This is my dude. Yeah. I want to keep him happy. I don't want him yelling at me at the sideline. And then at some point, it's like, wait a minute, I thought we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I don't like you as much as I did, or I don't want to feed you as much as I did. I mean, as much as I fed you last year, where do you think that bag came from? You know, it's because you have a damn good quarterback here. So I can't rule that out. Like, to me, as I was watching the second half and CD was not involved once again, that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, dude, it doesn't look like Dak is as prioritizing of 88. As maybe he was in the past. NFL News of the Day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
Well, let's carry on. CD talking about a potential beef with Dak Prescott. Ooh. And a lot of injury news is filing in. That's next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Explanation.
Yeah, buddy, let's get some NFL news of the day here with Wolchuk. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a wreck, not your fault, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Okay, yeah, people warning me about this bet payoff, the Roger Clemens with the icy hot saying don't do it. Knew a friend in summer camp that did it, had to be sent home. Mm. You know, so stuff like this. Lucius on Twitter here messed around and sprayed my, you know what, with icy hot spray on Tuesday. Had him lit up. He's got fire emojis in here. So my anxiety is rising, to be honest with you, as we're inside 2 hours. And you can also check at G-Bag Nation for photographic evidence of Wolchuk's bet payoff, the bachelorette party, which was pretty hilarious back there in the 2 o'clock hour. Here's Zach with your NFL news of the day.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, everybody. Okay, let's get to CeeDee Lamb and Dak. We were just talking about this. So, of course, the sideline video went viral. Like, what is CeeDee saying here to Dak Prescott? And he was asked about it yesterday when he visited with the media.
I don't even think people know what I said.
What did you say?
Jump ball, yeah, fo.
Jump ball, fo.
And he threw a back shoulder. Right. And then obviously I had the height advantage on the guy who got the pick, so I was like, throw it up. You know what I'm saying? And he understood it. And the message got through, but all that other stuff, that's kind of out the window to me. You know what I'm saying? The media is going to do what the media does. People are going to have their own opinion. Again, me and Dak ain't got no beef, man. That's my lock of me. I don't know what they talking about, but I'm not worried about it.
All right, so there's no beef between the two. He was saying jump balls four, according to CD himself. So, hey, it seems like all's good between 4 and 88.
Yeah, you know, and it'll get back to last year where he was on a historic pace and had him as the number one wide receiver in fantasy football drafts. You know, hopefully real soon, everything's going to be great.
Maybe this week. I mean, this week against the Lions last year was a career day for CeeDee.
Yeah, so. I just want to see signs that, you know, Dak trusts CeeDee as much as he does Jalen Tolbert here. I would have more trust in CeeDee as a player, but,
you know. Like in a walk-off, fourth down, time expiring.
The guy without the sprained nuts?
Yeah.
That's who I'm going to. You know, it's my guy. Maybe the best wide receiver in football.
Might throw a jump ball.
Mm-hmm. Jump ball's four. Jump ball. All right, we got new information regarding Christian McCaffrey. He's eyeing a week 10 return to the field. So that would be against the Buccaneers. That would mean he most likely not playing against the Cowboys, who will be taking on San Francisco after the bye week. They've got Lions, bye week, San Francisco. So probably, you know, Christian McCaffrey against the Cowboys, but week 10, we could be looking for the return of CMC. Now, in the division, you've got Malik Nabers officially ruled out for his second straight game against the Giants.
Despite the...
For the Giants.
What about the concert fiasco that's going down?
Yeah, there's some
What's
fans
the protocol
York,
here, man?
They're not happy. I mean, I guess...
G-Bag Nation, you make the call. If you're in concussion protocol and you just missed a game and you're trying to get prepared for the next game on Sunday, do you go to a large music concert?
Heck no.
Okay. Is there a... like something about the concert that's going to hurt him making.
Well, I wouldn't go to a concert anyway.
Okay, yes. Removing those sensibilities.
Which are fair and logical.
I think for my one concussion experience, like loud sounds and lights would be horrible.
Right.
You know, maybe if I'm through the concussion protocol and I'm like, cool, the concussion symptoms went away. Now I can go to my concert.
I'm playing on Sunday. Everything's great.
Yeah.
But Malik, did you say he's not playing on Sunday?
He's not playing.
Oh, no.
No.
Well, hey, they're 1-0 without him, right?
They are 1-0 without him.
Maybe it's addition by subtraction.
Man, maybe Tyrone Tracy Jr. goes off. Screw them for winning that game last week. Gosh dang it. Okay.
It really is laughable because he is their offense. I mean, the idea that they won without him again, and that is why you're doing pendulums and Dawson's putting Icy Hot on his downstairs. It's because the Giants found a way to win without Malik Nabers, which is as head-scratching of a win as we'll see.
It's absolutely beyond frustrating. But now he's not playing again. They also aren't going to have Kayvon Thibodeau. He's got a wrist injury. Eagles wide receivers A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, plus offensive tackle Lane Johnson, they're all off the injury report.
Mm.
They are all going to be playing.
Well, it's good for us in Survivor, then.
That is good for us in Survivor. We'll take that small victory. I guess Lane Johnson actually got cleared against the Bucs prior to their bye week, but did not play in that one as they held him out. So they get all their big studs back. Now, Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts, thought maybe he was going to be out. He's not. Him and Josh Downs, both full participants in practice today. They're listed as questionable to play on Sunday. Our buddy Jordan Schultz, who we had on the show yesterday, said seems like Michael Pittman is going to give it a go. And Anthony Richardson is on track to return and play against the Titans for the Colts. So good news for their young stud, Anthony Richardson, who had that hip injury that did not look good. And you never know how long you're going to be out with that, especially as a running quarterback that Anthony Richardson certainly is a big part of his game. So good news that he just missed a limited amount of time there.
Yes, big time. He's going to need to put together a stretch of games where he's not getting hurt, because that's been the story of his career.
Right now, it's injury prone. That's kind of the label that he's got right now.
He's either throwing a 65-yard, you've never seen it, rocket shot touchdown pass, or he's throwing a 5-yard easiest pass you could ever complete, but it's a errant incompletion, or he's getting banged up and missing time.
Exactly.
Those are the only three things that can happen right now to Anthony Richardson.
Damn. Now, last night, Jordan Mason, who's been fantastic in place of Christian McCaffrey for the 49ers, he suffered an AC joint sprain to his shoulder. He's now going to be considered day-to-day. Now, I guess there was some sports bettors out there that think the NFL is rigged. He came back out. He got one carry. He certainly did not hit the over on carries or on yards. And they think, you know, hey, maybe this was the 49ers just doing one for the NFL here, doing them a solid. But it was our draft show crush, Isaac Garendo, out of Louisville, who put the game away at the end for the 49ers. And there was a little bit of a question, like, did he go ahead and try and slide and avoid a touchdown to maybe just run out the clock, which didn't matter because Kyle Juszczyk scored, or did he actually get tackled? I think he did get fetched by Devin Witherspoon and was tripped up and tackled, but the way that it looks is he does kind of slide a little. So Kyle Shanahan said, I would have liked him to have scored, but he might tell people he slid. I think he got caught. And I
yeah, yeah. Did he say he, did he say he slid?
Yeah, he said he went down before.
Yeah, I was wondering which one that was.
Yeah, I think that was Witherspoon dives and is able to trip him up right before he scores.
I think it's kind of like I could fight for this touchdown and maybe I should because it would have been his first. But maybe you lose the football. Because you have been knocked out of, you're probably not going to score.
Yeah.
He was going to get shoved down, and I think in the process of going down, he decided to go for the slide. There's no need to fight for this.
No, he's trying to sell it. Like, yeah, I was doing the smart thing.
I think here. It's a great debate, though.
He just went down.
He was just laboring.
Hey, let's just go ahead and run the clock out. Everything's okay. But hopefully Jordan Mason, who leads the league in rushing right now, will be back soon for fantasy owners out there. Now, Rashad White of the Bucs, he's doubtful for Sunday against the Saints, which means Bucky Irving, rookie out of Oregon. Oregon's got themselves a big weekend. Maybe they got a chance to knock off Ohio State at home, and then the pride of the Ducks, Bucky Irving, could be making his first career start there for the Buccaneers of Tampa Bay.
He's better. I think he should be their starter.
I'm a fan of Bucky. No doubt. He's got some juice.
But, hey, it's a 1-2 punch.
1-2 punch, man. You got to have that 1-2 punch.
Like, I don't know if Irving.
Damn 1-2 punch.
Damn 1-2 punch.
I don't know if Bucky would be getting the type of holes that he gets if it wasn't for Rashad White, you know, opening things up for him there in the first quarter.
You think Aaron Rodgers can break this streak that he's on right now? It's a historic drought against the Bills that he's got.
I don't see it happening for him.
So it's he has not thrown a 300-yard passing game since 2021, December of 2021. That's 28 consecutive games, including playoffs, without reaching that mark. It's the NFL's longest active streak, and it's tied for the longest streak without hitting 300 yards in the last decade. Wow. Just to put this into context, Andy Dalton has thrown for 300 passing yards in a game three times with three different teams during that stretch for Aaron Rodgers. So if Rodgers isn't able to put up 300 this week, he will own the longest streak since Byron Leftwich started 31 consecutive games for the Jags, Falcons, and Bucks without a 300-yard game between 2004 and 2012.
Jeez. I just wish somebody would go up to him and like grab him by the shirt and shake and be like, dude, you're not good anymore. Quit acting so confident and arrogant.
My Lord. Yes, it's just embarrassing.
There's no amount of relax that can explain this away. He needs a great offensive line. I think that's the truth on the Jets. Their offensive line wasn't good last year, not good this year. If you're going to play with that old of a man,
right,
you're going to have to build a fort for him.
It's been bad.
Amen to that, dude. Because he was getting smashed the other day.
He was, and he looked old. Like, it was the first time I was like, damn, Aaron, it might be time. Last thing, Tom Brady did make a $100,000 donation to those impacted by Hurricane Milton. He said, stay safe and stay strong, Florida.
Well, good stuff. Well, Chuck, appreciate that NFL news today. Time now for Krusty's Corner. Brian, what's in store for us today?
Yeah, we've got the referee report, and I got some questions for my guys. We'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. It's a football Friday. It's a double bet payoff football Friday. Chuck Wagon's coming up at 4 o'clock. Stuart Mandel, college football writer, 420. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this. I actually found myself watching a little Mavs preseason basketball last night.
Pretty cool scene, Clay. Yeah. Like, it was neat seeing Clay
crazy.
Thompson
scratch that itch.
I was just kind of like, I was kind of curious how this thing was looking. And then the Stars, of course, that was a lot of fun. The Stars games, they stress me out.
Yeah.
It's only like game one and I'm stressing.
Hey,
like,
it's a marathon, dude. You can't work yourself up like that. It's a long season.
So stressing watching the Stars because I want them to win every single game, you know? I'm just like, please, you got a 2-goal lead.
Well, they have a chance. I mean, they're clearly, looks like they're kind of going that direction.
Yeah, they're trying.
Undefeated is right there.
I think 82-0 is very possible.
82-0 would be awesome.
Thompson to Lively was kind of nice last night, though,
It was kind of nice. Yeah. That kid's so good.
Dude, Derek Lively is going to be
so good.
Special.
All right. We've heard the name of the official this week, right?
Oh, really? Oh, John Hussey.
The Hussey man.
Yeah.
John Hussey.
Dawson's determined that if he was Mrs. Hussey, that she should go to the name changing area.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if you were getting married, you'd say, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But we're going to change this last name.
We're going to change this last name.
Yeah.
Well, the one good thing about John Hussey is that through four games, he is one of the least penalizing officials in the league.
Okay.
Second to the bottom.
All right, Huss.
Yeah, second to the bottom when it comes to your officials. He has refereed four games this year.
Huss Doggy?
He has ref four. Huss Doggy.
He's just trying to get out of there, isn't he? He's always got.
You think he's got dinner plans?
He's got resies somewhere in that city.
That are trying to catch the plane.
Either or.
To catch a plane home.
Yeah. Get back home to Mrs. Huss.
Yeah. Well, four games this year, though. Just to give you an example of where he's at when it comes to these penalties.
He being Hussey, right?
He being Hussey. His crew's called 9 offensive holding penalties.
Okay.
6 for the home teams. 3 for the visitors.
Yeah, but they haven't called a Tyler Guyton game yet.
Shut your mouth over there.
He said 6 unnecessary roughness penalties.
Ooh, that feels a little heavy-handed. Over 1 a game?
5 for the homers.
Let the players play, Huss.
1 for the aways. So six total penalties, unsportsman.
Five for the home.
He's trying to settle down that home crowd.
Okay.
Well, the good news is there's going to be a lot of Honolulu blue.
Well, the thing about it is he usually loses control of the game, and he has to do this.
Nobody's got respect for Hussey.
Nobody's got any respect because he doesn't call any penalties, which is a cool thing. But the games are like so out of whack because dudes are just taking runs at each other. And so there's a lot of going back and forth.
Tempers flare
with Hussey as the ref.
It's an emotional game.
That's when the coach has to go to him before the game and say, "Hey, buddy, you know, I just wanted to let you know. You know, I just want the best team to win. But that other team over there has just been violating the rules all season long. I've been watching the film.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we could work together on this one to create a safe atmosphere for the players."
Look at you. Coach Dawson.
Hey,
definitely been there before.
Won us a tournament a couple of months ago.
Let's go.
Where were you when I was standing on the high school sidelines and I told that official one time, I said, "Sir, that's a really good football team. They don't need your help."
They said, "Okay, sir, sit down."
Yeah. So I actually said that exact line. I was thinking about you to a basketball ref. He did not take kindly to it.
Did he?
Yeah, the basketball refs have a lot stiffer of a backbone than the soccer refs.
A little more entitled.
This official, he got to the head coach and said, "You need to settle him down."
Ooh.
And the head coach looked at me and goes, "Brian, please." And I'm like, "Yes, sir." And I walked away.
"Brian, please."
"Brian, please.
We're going to have to remove you from the field."
"Sir, that's a good team. They don't need your help today."
It's a good line.
All right. Defensive holding, 4. 3 for the homes, 1 for the aways. Defensive pass interference, that's a 1 and a 1.
Damn it.
Taunting.
Yeah.
These guys have a taunting call that they've called on a team.
Okay. Just once, though. That's
okay.
Good. Look out, CD.
Seriously. You don't be throwing the ball any direction.
Don't be taunting Dak either.
This is one you never see in the league. This is a call you rarely ever see in the league.
Oh, we got to guess this.
Can you guess the one call in 4 games that John Hussey's crew has made that you rarely see in the National Football League?
This would be a...
it has to do with special teams.
Oh, okay. Is this hitting the center? Is this doing something weird to the center when he's trying to snap the ball?
Close.
Is this one of those weird chop block...
like an illegal procedure?
Jumping over the center?
Close. He has a leverage call.
Oh, leverage. Okay.
When you're jumping on somebody else's back to get the up.
Oh,
higher.
Like a teammate.
I like that. Yeah. That should be allowed.
Like you're using leverage to
That's teamwork. That's literally the epitome of football.
Yeah.
To its core.
Yeah.
Put some excitement in here.
Well, Hussey has called a leverage call, so be mindful of this.
Don't be jumping on anyone's back.
What's the move? You know what the hand motion is for leverage? You know what John Hussey does with his body when he's telling the crowd there for the folks that can't actually hear him audibly?
I think leverage is a one arm. It might be two arms. I don't look it up, Dawg. I think is it two arms?
Broadus is doing like an airplane thing right now here.
Is it one arm?
They won't take me directly to it. I got to go to all of the official signals and sort through it.
Okay.
So
while you do that. And only one roughing the passer penalty in 4 games.
Mm.
So your quarterback might be getting hit a little bit too much in this game.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Remember last time they played, he kind of...
Oh, I do remember.
Remember he made a hip
yeah,
tackle.
Yeah, there was that.
Yeah, yeah. But we did get... But like I say, Hussey is your official in the last 6... Would you like to guess your record? 6 games. Last 6 games.
Oh, give me 4-2 with us.
And you're 500 at 3-3.
Dawson. 2-4. I'll go the other way, Brian.
He's 3-3 with the Hussey. Mm.
Hey, it's an 8-8 league.
We'll take it. All right. But that's your official, John Hussey. So keep an eye on him. He'll do something that'll make you mad. All right. Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Rank these Lions from most concerned to least concerned.
Ooh,
on
I like
offense.
This. This always gets me nervous.
We're power ranking the concerns.
Yeah, we're going to power rank the Lions' offensive concerns.
Okay.
From the most concerned to the least.
Okay.
Most to least. Most to least.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Mm.
Not concerned.
Jameson Williams.
Weak.
Yeah.
Sam Laporta.
Come on. Is he even playing?
And Jamar Gibbs. Rank them.
Jamar.
Yeah.
Wow. This is tough, dude.
This is tough.
You were right, Brian. This is leverage.
Yeah.
Airplane arms.
You called it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He nice called one work. Arm. So
Broadus.
You looked great doing it in that Whataburger shirt with the headphones. Honestly, he looks like he could be running the drive through right now.
New uniform. When anybody comes to Dallas, just rep the Whataburger.
I got the socks on.
You have the socks on too?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Coordinated. Watching Broadus do those hand
motions. Would you rank these Lions concerns?
Yeah, rank the damn Lions.
I've only got 3 minutes
left. My concerns start with Laporta,
with Aiden Hutchinson.
I think. Well, it was just offensive players.
Just offensive players.
He wasn't one of them.
It's Laporta, and then it's Gibbs, then it's St. Brown. Jameson Williams is very scary as well. I mean, that's the problem with the Lions. Their skill guys are pretty legit right now, but that's how I'll go with it.
So you went with Laporta.
Yep.
Where'd you, St. Brown?
St. Brown 2, Gibbs 3.
And Williams 4.
Yeah.
Wooly Bully.
I'm going to go Gibbs 1, even though, I mean, him and Montgomery, they're both awesome, but their rushing attacks what scares me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with St. Brown 2. And you know what? I'm going to go with Jameson Williams 2. His speed, and he is having a breakout year. I feel like the Cowboys are going to have something for St. Brown. Jameson Williams is the one, I believe, that scored for him last year in this game. So I'll put Williams at 2, Laporta 3, St. Brown 4. But all of them are a concern.
That wasn't the question. I just asked you to rank them.
I did. Yeah. I answered the question. I ranked all 4.
Okay.
Jahmyr Gibbs is the most terrifying. The biggest defeats that you suffer and leave you demoralized are when they run it right down your throat
for four quarters. I totally agree on this.
Gibbs number 1, Porta number 3, St. Brown number 2.
I should probably be more worried about Laporta. He's just been hurt. I'm like, is he healthy?
I'm just expecting a Laporta breakout game because it's been such a talking point. I think he's due for one, that kind of deal. But Gibbs is absolutely a guy that is going to be getting chunk yards on you.
All right, Wooly Bully.
No.
5 of Aiden Hutchinson's 6 sacks had been over the opponent's right tackle. Are they going to rush Steele or Guyton in this game?
They're eventually going to move him over and rush him on Guyton.
Where do you think the majority of the rushes are going to come from?
And the majority of the rushes will probably be against Steele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be the majority. But I think in terms of who he has more success against, I think it'll end up being Guyton.
Does he have any trends? Like, is he 50-50?
No, it's 5 of his 6 have all been over.
But if it's snap count, is he equally?
No, it's pretty much the left over the left end. Is where he's at.
I don't mind that. I mean, Dak can see it. He's used to Terrence Steele blow-bys, and he can negotiate that. Yeah, I would still expect. I mean, even T.J. Watt, who's predominantly a right tackle rusher, spent some time with Tyler last week. So I would expect Aiden Hutchinson to do something similar.
Yeah, probably fishing around on both. I mean, both are going to turn out really well for you. Penalties, sacks, pressures.
But he'll predominantly be just on his main side.
Right. See, the thing that I worry about in this game, like I say, if you could just block him. I mean, make him run the gauntlet to get to Dak. And I don't know if the Cowboys are going to do that. You know, I could just see them like, let's still take him one-on-one. Oh, let Guyton take him one-on-one here.
You don't want to do that.
He's like their best player on defense, rushing the passer now. And that's the one thing that you could probably do is throw the football on these guys.
You want to run it right at them, blow them up, and then play action over the top.
Well, that's what they do to you on offense.
That's what we got to do to them.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Because they're smart. Yeah, Ben Johnson's good OC. Hopefully he can be the Cowboys' next head coach.
Yep. All righty. Thank you, Brian.
Brian's Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant. Chuck Wagon coming up next. Wooly Bull, you ready for it?
Yeah, let's do this thing. The Grimace Effect. Best Texas OU moments of the last 25 years. And is this the best rivalry in the state of Texas? That's next in the nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.